So discussion time happens now, right? You can't escape it this time. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to somebody, and I want you to share two experiences, all right? Two experiences. Share a time when you were happy, when something made you happy, okay? That should be okay. We should be able to share a time where there was something that happened to us that made us happy, okay? But then also, share a time when you really felt profoundly joyful. Okay, so that means you got to think about the differences between being happy and being joyful. Okay, so find somebody and share those two things. Okay, you got like 3 minutes. 3 minutes. So that's one of the benefits, right, of being the teacher. Yeah, I know, you may want to move out of that spot. It's just like right in your eyes. The sun is just shining in Caleb's eyes. So that's one thing about being a teacher is I get to ask the question and then just walk around, right? And just hear your answers, right? I facilitate. I love that, right? There are days when I have to lecture and I'm like, I really don't know what to do. And I'm like, I'll just ask a question. I'll just let them sleuth it out. They can figure it out, right? So we have to talk about happiness and joy. And as I was writing my notes down, I thought, happiness is kind of based on your circumstances, right? Happiness is maybe fleeting. You can be happy 1 minute and sad the next, right? For example, in March, I am happy when I find a McDonald's that's serving shamrock shakes. And that's not easy to do because not every McDonald's will do it. Okay? And so I see the sign in the window, like, shamrock shakes are back. And then you pull up to the drive-thru and you order one and they say, I'm sorry, the shake machine is broken. And immediately you're sad. You were happy based on the circumstance, and the circumstance changed, and you were sad. Right? So when I think about happiness, I really do think it's more circumstantial. It's more fleeting, if you will. But when I think about joy, I think the definition for joy goes a lot deeper. Would you agree? Joy is a lot deeper. I'm not saying that joy is not an emotion that we feel. Okay, and if you were to look up a definition, it would probably talk about like elation, like an overabundance of happiness as joy. Okay, but I think it even goes deeper than that. I think this is a dwelling in your soul. It's not necessarily just emotional, right? When I think about love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? When I think about an emotion, I think about that heart, that happiness, that heart. I can worship the Lord and love the Lord in happiness or sadness. That's okay. But then you get to the soul, that deep place where Christ abides. That's where my joy lives. And so I want to talk about that. So here I wrote a bunch of words. I said deeper, I said soul. I said joy has an expectation to it. Okay. There's security to it. There's restoration. And then I wrote this, everlasting. Joy is not fleeting. As I understand it, joy does not ebb and flow. At least my understanding of biblical joy. So I want us to turn to our scripture today, which is in chapter 2 of Luke. So you can open up your Bibles. There are three sections of scripture that we're going to talk about today. Four, really. Okay. The first is in Luke. Then we're going to jump to David in the Psalms. Then we'll talk about Isaiah and prophecy. And then we're going to turn to the words of Christ. But let's read Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Right, there's an emotion. And if I've got terror going on, I don't really have a lot of room for much else in terms of emotion. I don't imagine that there's going to be a lot of joy in that. If I were to see an angel of the Lord with the glory of the Lord shining everywhere around me so that that was the only thing that I saw or knew even at that moment in time, it would be terrifying. I guarantee you I would be like other folks written in Scripture where they fall down dead because they just don't have the capacity to handle what they're seeing. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. I think I would still be afraid. The angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. That news will bring great joy to all the nations. Join me in a word of prayer as we get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your plan. We thank you for your covenant and your faithfulness, that what you say, you will do. And for your love for us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending a Savior, a Messiah, our Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today. That's the pink. That's the joy. Think about what Marie was talking about last week. There's history here. There is a lot of history. And a lot of waiting. And a lot of patience. And a lot of folks turning away. And a remnant that stays faithful. Waiting and praying and hoping and expecting a word from the Lord. And then the angel appears to a couple of shepherds. And I was thinking about this. I was like, who knew? Who knew at the time that Christ was born? Who really knew that Christ the Savior was born? I would contest Mary and Joseph certainly knew. Because Mary understood her role in this. She said it. I am your servant, Lord. She knew, which means Joseph knew. And I bet Elizabeth knew because John the Baptist knew, right? Jumped in the womb at the news that Mary was pregnant. He knew. So up to four. Then we got a handful of shepherds. Maybe we're up to 10. And then we got three kings, three wise men that were far away at the time, but they saw the star and they knew what that meant. 13 people. And yet we read, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. But at the time, 13 people knew. And then I started thinking, there were probably more livestock that knew. And I know it sounds silly, right? But even the rocks will cry out praises to the Lord. And so how does this work? 13, maybe 13 people knew at the time of his birth. And yet bring great joy for all the people. So I started thinking, well, and again, this is just me. Maybe joy really isn't an emotion in this case. Maybe the joy is the Savior who's laying in the manger. That's the joy. That's our joy. That Savior. Yes, the Messiah. The one that you've been waiting for. For hundreds, thousands of years, that restoration has come, that joy is here. That's what we celebrate today. As part of our thoughts about this season, this time, we've looked at hope, preparation, some repentance, some reflection, and now it's time, it's here. Christ is born. We get to celebrate that because that forms the foundation of joy in my soul. I want to read Psalm 30. Okay. I'm going to turn to it while you do as well. I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. When I was prosperous, I said, nothing can stop me now. Your favor, O Lord, has made me secure as a mountain. Then you turned away from me, and I was shattered. I cried out to you, O Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy, saying, what will you gain if I die, if I sink into the grave? Can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, Lord, and have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. I love this picture of David's joy as he dedicates the temple because he recognizes about himself and he recognizes about the Lord. He says, when I was prosperous, nothing can stop me. Your favor, O Lord, has made me secure as a mountain. And then he recognizes how fleeting that security is because that security was not found in him. He was not prosperous because of him. He was prosperous because of the Lord. And then he says, then you turned away from me and I was shattered. Shattered. Strong as a mountain to rubble on the ground. Stones and rocks and boulders all crushed into gravel. I cried out to you, O Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy. Help me, O Lord. And then he says, you've turned my mourning into joy. My sadness into joy. That joy comes from restoration. What he's saying is, Lord, you restored me. I was on the top of the world thinking I got this. And then you turned from me. And there's weeping in the night. Then he says, but joy comes with the morning. At dawn, the sun comes up, and your favor is poured back on me, and I'm restored and filled with joy. That restoration brings joy. And here's what I get from this. That joy, that promised restoration, some point in the future, that promised restoration, our full restoration, our full reunion with the Lord is on the horizon. It's coming. And though we might be in a period of darkness, of mourning, of sadness, of trial, being battered one side and then the other, though we may feel shattered like a former mountain, we can look to that horizon. Sorry, that horizon, right? East. We can look to that horizon because we know, just like the sun is going to come up, we know that the Lord's favor is going to come, that the Lord's restoration, his full reunion is coming. And that fills us with joy. That, to me, is joy. Part of what I like to do when I travel is I plan early and often. So my family is heading out over Christmas. We're going to do a family cruise in the Caribbean. Yay, it'll be fun. We leave. I can tell you the exact hour, minute, and day because I have an app on my phone that tells me the hour, minute, and day. In February, I get to travel to Sydney and teach a class for 3 weeks. I have information on my phone where I can, like, see my seat on the airplane. I know where I'm staying, and I know where the grocery store is, and I know how to get to transportation, and I know how to scan in and scan out of public transportation. I'm a planner. And the other thing I like to do is look at maps. Anybody like using Google Maps? Like, I love it. Like, that's like one of the most visited apps on my computer and my phone. And you can put on, like, Earth View, where you can, like, see the curve, right? So we're flying out of Fort Lauderdale in 7 days, okay? And I put the pin, I dropped a pin on Fort Lauderdale, and then I turned on 3D View Earth, and I zoomed out, and I got over Carmel, Indiana. And way on the horizon is my pin. Fort Lauderdale, that's where our ship takes off. And I'm looking at that distance, and you can kind of see the Appalachians in there. You kind of see a little bit of the mountain. It's way off in the distance. I can't even see Florida anymore. Like, it ends in Georgia. But I know where I'm going, and I know the destination, and that makes me happy. That fills me with excitement. Because I know what's coming. And when I'm in the midst of trial, and I've got to give and grade a final exam, and honestly, the more I teach, the more I hate to grade. I just do. I'm to the point where it's like, nope, we're just going to give oral exams, and I'm just going to let you tell me the answer, and I'm going to give you a 100, 90, 80, or 70, or 50. I would love that, right? And I've got to do this. That's a barrier to me. I had to get my dog shot so I can put her in a kennel. And that was a barrier. And so there are all these things I got to do that are the mundane, the whatever. But I know what it's for. So when I look at that dropped pin on the horizon, I know I'm getting there. I know what's coming. And I know I'm going to have to go through some trial before I'm ready to go. But I can grade exams with a smile on my face because I know what's coming. Now let's transition that to my walk with the Lord. There are times, and you all know this, when it has been challenging. And trial after trial after trial comes my way. And I'm exhausted. And I'm frustrated. And I'm angry. And I'm sad. And I cry out to the Lord, where are you in this? Help me. Lord, help me. Because I can't do this. I thought I was the mountain, but no, I'm just the gravel. I'm like my driveway, which at one point was paved, and it is no longer paved. It is going back to nature. It is going back to gravel. And at this point, I'm just going to let it so that when I have it paved again, it will have a base of gravel that they can just pave over. They won't have to rip anything up. They'll just have to compact it down. But I've been that, I am that pile of gravel. And yet, I have joy because I know at the end of the day, I know where my dropped pin is. I know where I'm headed. And even in the midst of sorrow and pain, I have an underlying joy, this current of joy that says, but wait a minute. Don't forget what's coming. Don't forget the destination. You've thought about this. You've planned. You've looked at the map. You know what's coming. And you know it's a journey. But you know that there's a destination. It's promised. It's paid for. You don't need to do anything. Just get there. And you know what? I'll even help you get there. When I think about joy, that's where my heart goes. Because even in the midst of trial, that's where my heart goes. Now let's turn to Isaiah. Let's turn to a prophet. Because in Isaiah, I love what Isaiah says in chapter 35. So let's turn to Isaiah 35. So if you read Isaiah 34, it's fire and brimstone. It's blood, it's death, it's punishment, it's the anger of the Lord. And it can get pretty gruesome, the descriptions of what will happen to people groups. But Isaiah 35 starts off with a heading, Hope for Restoration. That should just give you chills right there. Hope for restoration. Even the wilderness and the desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and bloom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory and splendor of our God. And this is the part I love. With this news, with the news of restoration, that even the driest, most desolate places will bloom and come to life and be as lush and as green as anything that you can imagine. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands. Say to those, and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. The picture of joy and singing and probably dancing. That picture of joy is that message of hope. Don't be afraid because of what's promised. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't be sad. Don't lose hope because of what's promised. Expect it. There's an expectation component to joy. I was reading Rick Warren, pastor, and he defined joy in a way that I really liked, and it really resonates with me. Maybe it'll resonate with you. He says, and I'm just going to paraphrase, joy is that settled assurance. Joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details in my life. Do you believe that today? That God is in control of all of the details in your life. That even though you may be walking through a time of struggle or strife, or maybe you're in a time of really great happiness and peace, that in the low and the high, God is in control of every detail of your life. And then this is what gets me, that ultimately, everything will be okay. That ultimately, everything will be okay. That even if my life is taken tomorrow, everything will be okay. Because the Lord is in control. Even when it doesn't look like he's in control. Even when with our minds we see chaos and death and despair. God is in control. And ultimately, everything will be okay. And part of that joy then, and this is what Rick says, is the determination and choice to praise God in all circumstances. That joy is a choice, right? To praise God in all circumstances. That's joy. And I'm like, okay, I love it, right? And that really does resonate with me. Because sometimes I just need somebody to tell me that everything is going to be okay. That when I'm sitting and in my human mind, I'm planning out and I don't see a path. I don't see a resolution. Right? As a scientist, I think through experiments before you do them, right? That's always the good thing to do, by the way. You think through what you're going to go do in the lab before you go do it, because then you're like, well, I could do this, this, this. Nope, that'll blow up. This, this, this. Nope, that's going to make a toxic gas. This, this, that. You want to think through the outcome. It's what I've been trained to do. And not just with my science training. It's just who I am. Science just was a natural fit for the gifts that God had already given me. But I'm a planner. And even when I look at every possible plan I can conceive, and I said, nope, that's not going to work. Nope, that's not going to work. Nope, that's not going to work. I got nothing left. Even in those moments, I still want somebody to tell me it's going to be okay. That's when Christ comes in, right? And he's never really left, right? I just finally acknowledge that he's in the room with me, that I don't need my own power to figure this out, that Christ is there. He's just like whispering. Every time I get to a fail, he's like, but Mike. And then I'm like, what? Did somebody say something? No. I got to, but Mike. finally I turn to him and I look at my Savior and he looks at me and he puts a hand on my shoulder and he says, everything's gonna be okay because I got you. Let it go. It's gonna be okay. You don't have to solve this one. I've already solved it. It's gonna be okay. That definition brings me joy. That's my baseline. That's why in the midst of any trial, I can still smile and be like, it's gonna be okay. I don't know how. I don't have an answer. It's not my job. This one's not my job to solve. But I know it's going to be okay. So then I was thinking about, well, how do we know? How do we know it's going to be okay, right? I got just a couple minutes and we'll have Rachel come up. Like, how do we know it's going to be okay? Right, did you ever wonder that? How do you know it's going to be okay? Turn to John chapter 15. I got to find it too. Sorry. John 15. And let's just go here and we'll find it. Haha. What's the title of the section? The vine and the branches. That's how I know it's going to be okay. Verse 5. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them produce much fruit. We're just the branches. Apart from the vine, we got nothing. Apart from the vine that's rooted in the soil that gives us the nutrition, we're just a branch. And I got a tree that I may be asking people to help me cut down in the spring because it was attacked by bugs. It had like 7 leaves on it last year. And I trimmed all of the dead wood except for anything that had a green leaf. But I think it's dead. And so if you get a text from me saying, hey, I got pizza at my house, secretly it's that will come after we take chainsaws and take down a tree. Okay? And maybe 2 trees. Because while I have it here, why not? Okay? But those branches got cut off. They got cut off from the root system. Those bugs destroyed the pathway that led from the roots up to the branches, and now branches are just falling off, and they're dry, and they burn really, really well in my neighbor's fire pit. Right? I just, it's really weird. It's like I pick up sticks, I put them under a tree, and I come back the next day, and they're gone. And there's just a little trail of smoke coming from his fire pit. I love Kevin. He loves to burn stuff, and I'm fine if he wants to take my yard waste and burn it. Christ is saying, remain in me. Remain connected to the vine. I am your source of life. You sever from me, you're just dead wood. You're going to dry up and you'll burn really well. Stay connected to me. Later on in that chapter, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. How do we know it'll be okay? Well, if we remain in his love, we remain connected to him. We keep our eyes focused on that horizon and we don't look at the mountain range that's in front. We know our destination. We keep our eyes focused on that destination. And as we walk with the Lord, we listen for his voice saying, it's going to be okay. But Jesus, I don't know. It's going to be okay. But what, Mike? It's going to be okay. Because I have you. Because I've got you. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that comes from knowing you. We thank you for the joy that comes from knowing that you're our Savior, and that even in the midst of trial and suffering or confusion, when we can't see a path, Lord, we know that you have us, that when we stay connected to the vine, when we stay connected to you, Lord, you will nourish us. You will fill our soul. You will allow us, Father, in times of drought, Lord, you are not dry. In times of bad weather, Lord, you are the rock. Stay connected to you. You'll provide for us. And in the midst of all of those things, we can, Father, produce good fruit and remain in your love and experience the joy that can only come from you, the joy that comes from Christ the Savior, born into this world where 13 people knew. And yet the angel says, I bring you good news. I'll bring great joy to all the nations. Lord, allow us to share that joy. Allow us to share that news that there is hope beyond the struggle, that the time of waiting is over and the time of living in you has started. Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you for the opportunity to remember and celebrate. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.